too different. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There's no skipping back and forth. You're either in Abraham's bosom or you're in hell. Okay. 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He talked to Abraham, would you send him to my house? Why? For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the scriptures. That's what that refers to. They have the word of God. Let them hear them. Let them listen to the Bible. You know, like what we have today. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one would went unto them from the dead, they will repent. I got my way. I think my way's better. So to speak. I got a thing that I think will work with my boys, my brothers. You know, take someone from the dead and send it to them. 31, and he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they won't listen to the scriptures, if they won't listen to the Bible, the word of God, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's an amazing truth. But isn't there a lot of emphasis there on the Bible, the scriptures? You know how I get saved? By the scriptures. The Holy Spirit of God took the verses of the Bible that told me that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I knew that was me. I was a sinner. Could I get an amen? Yeah, because you're all sinners too. But the wages of sin is death, the separation from God and hell, eternal separation. Scriptures told me that. And I knew of a certainty that in spite of all my religion growing up, religion wasn't saving me. I had to turn to the Savior. I knew of Jesus. I knew he died on the cross. I knew all these truths. But I had them jumbled in this thought. You know how the devil weaves truth with lies. And I was taught that you believe in Jesus, but you also do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And the list went on and on. You could never know you're going to heaven. Well, maybe you have a good inclination. You may have to do a little time in purgatory. That's not in the Bible. There's not a third group. Two groups, heaven or hell. And the scriptures, the Spirit of God spoke to me and brought me to a place where I had a free will. God didn't force me to be saved. He didn't force you to be saved. But at some point you said, dear Jesus, I know I'm headed for hell. I deserve it. I'm a sinner. Before a holy and perfect creator God who gave me life. And I know there's no other way, but Jesus, I believe. I believe you did it for me. And I ask you to forgive me and save my soul. What a wonderful thing. I will never get over the day I got saved. How about you? Really? Not the day I joined this church. That was a wonderful day too. But whether I joined this church or not didn't determine whether I was going to heaven or hell. You know what I'm saying? But trusting Christ as Savior did. Now, verse 19 says he fared sumptuously, the rich man. So he did well. He lived lavishly, luxuriously. He had it all. Verse 23 speaks so that afterwards he was in torments. Torments means anguished, the utmost degree of misery, excruciating pain. In verse 24 he says, I'm tormented in this flame. The Bible speaks of flames, a burning of torture. In our finite minds, we can't gather that. To think that somebody could be in such torment forever and ever and ever and ever. But the Bible says it's true. Just like the Bible says heaven is forever and ever and ever and ever. The presence of Almighty God in a place that'll eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. What a difference to be saved or not saved when it comes to this matter of eternity. Now, we look at this story in the Bible and we realize it's an awful story, yet true. It's awful because one man had so much suffering in this life, and yet it is awful because one man ended up in hell and had and continues to have and will forever have incomprehensible suffering. Heaven and hell are real places. Everyone wants to believe that there's a heaven, but no one wants to believe that there's a hell. But they're both in the Bible. They're both just as real. Now, please know this, that God never intended hell for mankind. The Bible makes it clear in Matthew 25:41. Let me read this to you. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for man. It was not created for man. But the devil was successful in causing man to fall, to sin, thus condemning him to the same place the devil is at. Now, we know this story is a true life event because Jesus used proper nouns and names. That's a distinction. Be mindful of that when you study your Bible. He used many parables, many illustrations, many stories to teach biblical truths and principles. But if he uses proper names, like he did here, Abraham, Lazarus, it's a true life event. Now, this awful story is summarized in two words. Too late. Too late. The only real difference between these two men is these two words, too late. The rich man in hell did everything that the poor man did on earth. However, he simply did them too late. Now let me explain. Three quick little points now. Number one, he awoke to the fact of eternity too late. Verse 22, look what it says. And it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. He died. The beginning of eternity. See? That fact always existed, but he wasn't awakened to it. He lived life for self and delighted himself and cared not for God or the beggar outside. He didn't care about others. It was about him. Nowhere do we see mention about his brothers then. All he cared was for self. But you know what? There's that great equalizer. Death, he died. And then eternity begins. Death is real and unavoidable. And there is an appointment for death that you and I will keep. In Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. It is appointed unto man. There's an appointment. He had an appointment, and he kept the appointment. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, the Bible says. Really didn't think much about that before. Life was grand. Life was good. Many people in this world today, life's good. It's fine. I'm not really worried about afterwards. I don't even think there is an afterwards. I think you're dead, you're dead. You know? Well, it's not what the Bible says. See? Statistics say that nearly two people die every second. 120 every minute. 7,200 every hour. 173,000 every day. 63 million every year. It's a lot of people going into eternity, isn't it? And then it is. Eternity. Of the 8 billion people on the earth today, experts say that about only two-thirds of them have never heard the gospel one time. Those are general figures, I'm sure. How accurate, I don't know. Ballpark? Yeah, I can see that. If these percentages hold true, then roughly 42 million people die every year without even hearing the gospel one time, thus unprepared for eternity, and in hell they lift up their eyes. Death does not end it all. This truth, of course, is a blessing to those who are saved. Amen? But for the unsaved, however, this truth is ominous and should sound a grave warning. I need to do something about it. Because I am going to die. And then I'll face eternity. May we all be reminded today that eternity awaits us all. May we awake to this truth before the point of death. This rich man awoke to this truth also, but it was too late. He believed eternity then. He's still there. He awoke to the fact of eternity. Too late. Number two, he lifted up his eyes. He did. Too late. Verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now he's lifting up his eyes. He was too busy in life to stop and look up. To look up and acknowledge a God. Up to his benefactor and benevolent creator. Too busy. Too happy. Too pleased. He was too involved with this earth to give a moment's consideration and praise towards heaven. He was too absorbed with the here and now to think of the hereafter. There's no reason to lift up his eyes. Why, everything he needed and wanted was right here on the horizontal. Mankind breathes God's free air, drinks God's free water, eats God's food, and almost never offers to God a word of appreciation because they're absorbed in this life like this man was. Man is predominantly unthankful. You know, in Luke 17, if you're there at 16, look at Luke 17. It's right next to it. Notice there's a little story here. What happens? Now, this is an event as well. Truth. Verse 11. And it came to pass as he, that's speaking of Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they, in obedience, followed Jesus' words, they were cleansed. Wow. And I'm not talking about COVID here. I'm talking about leprosy. Once you got it, you had it, it's going to kill you. Piecemeal. Your skin, your fingers, they dry up, become like white, crusty toast and fall off. Your nose, and you're barred from your family and everybody, from society. And these 10 guys had it. Oh, have mercy on us. And Jesus said, go. And they did. And they went and they were cleansed. Wow. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Wait a minute. How many turned back? How many were cleansed? 10. That is a picture of man. I'll take all that I can get in this life, but to thank God for it. 1 out of 10. Verse 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? It's part of our human nature. Mankind just doesn't look up. Ungrateful. Psalm 123, verses 1 and 2, David, the psalmist said this, unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he may have mercy upon us. This perspective, this idea, this phrase, lift up mine eyes, is a reference to acknowledging and praising and thanking God. Rich man never did that. Well, I say he never did. But what does verse 22 say? And in hell he lift up his eyes. Oh, he did lift up his eyes. He did acknowledge God and talk to God. But it was too late. It was too late. One more. He awoke to the fact of eternity, too late. He lifted up his eyes, but too late. And he shed tears, too late. He was affected here. It's not only what his eyes saw, but now here. Too late. Verse 24 says he cried, and he cried, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He's crying to God. Tears, have mercy on me. His heart was touched. Now, please, send Lazarus, and he dipped the tip of his finger in water and cooled my tongue, for I am tormented in his flame. What? A little drop of water you think is going to give you some relief? That's how extreme it was. That he assumed that one drop of water would help. How desperate. How tragic. How beyond our finite minds can we comprehend such? Just like we have no idea, no concept how great heaven is. We have no idea, no concept how bad that hell is. Nothing moved him in this life. Lazarus was full of sores that lying outside his gate. They never helped him. The needy were all around him, yet he only thought of his own table, his own clothes, his own life. He never thought about his spiritual welfare or that of others, including his family. But things had changed drastically. His tears were now overflowing. Even his concern for self had turned to concern for others, his five brothers. Father Abraham, please send somebody from the dead back to my brothers so they don't come to this place of torment. He cared now. And he cared for others now. Yes, ultimately he did shed tears, but it's too late. Always remember that sin deceives and hardens us. The time to shed tears over sin is now, born again believer. Eternity's coming for us. Yes, we're headed to heaven. But man, shed your sins, man. Stay clean. Live for him. Don't wait till it's too late. Stand before God in sin, saved by the grace of God, so as by fire, the Bible says. Saved, but no rewards. Haven't pleased the Master. The time to shed tears also over the lost is now. Psalm 126, we're getting ready to close. 126, Psalm. Notice in verses 5 and 6, they that sow in tears, it's about sharing the gospel, sowing that blessed seed of the gospel, how to be saved from the Bible with others, sowing that seed in tears, they shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When should we start that? When should we care about others? Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But what about others? Friends and family, co-workers, when will we care about them? When it's too late? Or now? I'm talking to the saved, born-again people, heaven-bound. Care now about how you live. Living clean. Sharing the gospel. Don't wait till it's too late. The rich man had everything and he wanted, but not what he needed. What a tragedy. Lazarus had none of what he wanted, but all that he needed. What a celebration. Let's be clear this morning, being rich does not condemn one to hell, no more than being poor affords one heaven. It's not whether you're rich or poor. Whether you have Jesus as your Savior. The lesson to be learned and applied this morning by this true life story that Jesus shared and recorded in his word for each of us today to consider is this biblical truth of eternity. It's going to happen. There's such a thing as time. Once we die, time is no more. Eternity begins. And we're not to wait too late like this rich man did. The same saving gospel which was available to him and to his five brothers, referred to as Moses and the prophets, the scriptures, is available to us today. The Bible. The Bible is still here. The Bible still tells me of Jesus. The Bible still tells me here today in my hands that I'm a sinner in need of the Savior. And I believed it, trusted Christ to be my Savior. And that's the word we're to get out to others. So this truth of eternity for the saved, there's much to be done. For the unsaved, there's one simple thing you must do. You must trust Christ as your personal Savior. Friend, this morning, would you awake to the fact of eternity? You're going to die like the rest of us. And you're a sinner like the rest of us. But would you be a saved sinner this morning? Would you in faith say, all right, I got it, preacher. I got it. I'm a sinner. I really have no problem believing that. I lie whenever I have to. I've done a lot of other things wrong. I got it, preacher. I'm a sinner. And I believe that there's a heaven and hell. And that I'm probably going there. Well, friend, today would you just bow your head and say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me, a sinner. I believe you love me. I believe you love me enough to die and take my sins in your body on that tree. All of my sins, please forgive me and save my soul by faith. It's an amazing thing. Can it be that simple? By faith, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Not whosoever does this, that, this, whatever. Whosoever believeth. Would you believe this morning? Friend, trust Christ as your Savior this morning. And then Christian, eternity is coming for you too. Which life are you living for? Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're saved, heaven bound, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth. That rich man was attached to the things of this life. Didn't care for the future. And we're warned of God, of a loving Father, says, don't get too attached down here, son. I've given you this, I've given you that. I want to bless you in your life. But don't get too attached, because this is all just temporary. Set your affection on things above. The rich man, being in hell, had an overwhelming passion for the eternal souls of his brothers. It's too late. Should we not have the same burden and priority for the souls of family, friends, co-workers, all men? Yeah, this message isn't just for the unsaved today, huh? It's for me and for you, every one of us. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. We come to a time of invitation.